cosa leggerai, con che libro affascini il tuo cuore. E se ti perderai nel labirinto di un amaro autore.
Ma i tuoi piedi cap cap tere tap. Ma i tuoi piedi cap cap tere tap. Oh, happy feet. Da da da, happy feet. Da da da, happy feet. Oh, I love it.
Love it.
Happy feet. Da da da, happy feet.
Telefonerai probabilmente a me tuo schiavo d'amore, ti divertirai. Che traguardi vuoi farmi trovare?
Mai tuoi piedi, tap tap tap. Mai tuoi piedi, tap tap tap. Oh, happy feet, da da da, happy feet, da da da, happy feet. Oh, I love it. Happy feet, da da da, happy feet, da da da, happy feet.
This is Dr. Diana Wiley. I'm your host of Love, Lust, and Laughter. And I'm very pleased. Fiona Fine is a trooper. Hello, Fiona.
Hey, Diana. Dr. Diana.
Yes. Oh, Diana's fine. And Fiona was my guest May 20th. So this is part two. Fiona is a self-glorified goddess and dating expert. And she has a very interesting story. She really knows the man's world, but now she's entered the woman's world because after a long and unfulfilling, unsatisfying relationship and years in the corporate world, she decided to put pleasure back into her existence and start living a life purely on her own terms. And boy, have you done that. With your books, with your websites, and let's start by telling the listening audience that they can get a free book of yours by going into your website, babeintotalcontrolofherself.com.
That's
which is
correct.
The acronym. That's the acronym for bitch, B-I-T-C-H, babe in total control of herself. And I will put that on the summary that I do always after every show. So I think it would be useful, Fiona, since you haven't been on for about 3 weeks, to describe or review just why you wrote the book, B-I-T-C-H, and why and how in your life are you so adamant about advocating four and two women.
You said it there. I have been 30 years in a man's world. First engineering. Mm-hmm. I followed in my father's footsteps of engineering in education and started working there. Then moved into information technology, IT, and ultimately in, and I am going to say this on the air, what I would affectionately call the ball-busting world of recruiting. And it is, it's high stress, high powered. It made me a lot of money. And I really lived in a man's world. And after several car accidents and deep learning experiences, I realized I was totally miserable, making everybody around me miserable. And I was probably earning that moniker of the little B-I-T-C-H, that women who are aggressive and are assertive and successful in a man's world were often called the little B. And it was as I started to take my own ownership and my own accountability for and my desire to really live in the feminine, not letting go of, you know, being able to drive towards a goal and making money and things like that, which I take as my birthright also, but driving towards a more harmonized life of my my feminine and my masculine. And I thought about 7 years ago, 8 years ago now, I thought, I have to reclaim the sassy, sensual, fun person that I was in my, you know, before the car accidents and things like that. And I wanted to start encouraging and playing with women more. So, bitch, babe, and total control of herself, which is how to stop chasing men and start choosing love, is really my own journey. It's from the trenches. It is taking the disempowering word, the little B word of bitch, to an empowering babe in total control of herself frame. And that's it. It is really my story and the story of so many other women that I've coached over the years and that I've worked with. We're at a tipping point where we really need to start to reclaim our feminine and our sass and our enjoyment and our pleasure in life. So, bitch, babe in total control of herself was a labor of love and a labor of, necessity.
And it's a wonderful book, and it's very easy to read, and it's got lots and lots of good information in it. The original title was Rewrite the Rules to Romance, From Ball Buster in the Boardroom to Blissed Out in the Bedroom. That's also a very good title with a very good subtitle. And yeah. I hear that you got a little pushback when you were on a radio show in, shall we say the name of the city?
No, it's okay.
No, it was somewhere in the South. But anyway, they didn't like the term a ball buster.
Actually, they don't like the term bitch either. We could never say the name of the book. It was B-I-T-C, hello. So that goes to say that there's still so much that can be done to encourage women to have our own voice, to live in, to create our own lives on our terms and not necessarily have to. And I say the words have to. If we choose to, that's different, but have to live within the boundaries of society and maybe our cultural upbringing and, you know, all the different things that have held our voices back and held our choices back.
Yeah. And, you talk about a man who greatly influenced you, and you said he's good at recognizing talent. He also knew Mama Gina, Dr. Mm-hmm. Christiane Northrup, Dr. Gary Null, who heads up Progressive Radio Network. He owns the PRN. And so all of these people, you said, are experts who are pros at rebuilding a woman who has lost her way. And I'm hoping that Dr. Gary Null will listen to this archived, if not the live. And by the way, speaking of archived, you can go back and listen to part one if you haven't already by going to May 20th on the PRN website, and you can hear the archived version of part one with Fiona Fine. So you actually mention Mama Gina, and I'm familiar with her mastery class. I didn't attend it like you did, but I've read about it. Can you talk a little bit before we get into how women can self-sabotage their love lives, and we're going to talk about dating and relationships and even sexual self-sabotaging. But Mama Gina, what did you get from her?
Well, let me take you back a little bit just before that, because I was very closed down. I mean, I'd been in that, 10-year unfulfilling, unhealthy relationship, not pointing fingers at the man I was in the relationship with. I definitely own, my side of that equation. But I had shut down all of my femininity over the course of, 22 years. Just to, quote, survive in the traditional definition of success. And so it was my male best friend that when I finally hit, the equivalent of my rock bottom, I had no libido, I had no interest, I just wasn't really being a woman at all. And he knew of Gary Null, Dr. Gary Null, and Mama Gina, and all of these experts that I hadn't tapped into. I was still not yet looking for any of solutions like that. So I'd come from a man's world. I understood men and how they think. And it I never had tapped into it. And when he introduced me to Gary Null in the nutrition side of things, I started to get my health back. And, you know, drinking the green shakes. And, you know, I started doing high intensity training, and I, you know, I actually had met Dr. Null, and I just, that was the first turning point on a 3-point turning point. Then I went to Mama Gina, and I was encouraged. You can imagine, I didn't want to go. I didn't really know how to tap into women. I didn't know how to speak to them. I had no great best friends that a lot of women would say, you know, they shared everything with. I shared everything with guys because that's who I was comfortable with. I went to Mama Gina, and I saw that, you know, even though I was confident and I had high self-esteem and things like that, I saw there was an epidemic of women like myself that had shut down on the physical side of things and on the emotional side of how to have relationships with self. So she was a real turning point, and I had a lot of fun. And that's when I made the decision that, you know, that kind of the conversations that Dr. Null had, that you have, I mean, these kind of conversations that Mama has, we needed a bigger voice. We needed a bigger platform. We all have to have a way to give influence to women and to the men that support them. So that was quite a fascinating 3 to 4 years of just learning and tuning myself and stepping into my babe in total control of myself. I couldn't have done it without all you guys. And we listened to PRN, the whole company that I founded, Goddess Connections, which has the 2 publications. We listened to you guys religiously. In fact, it is mandatory for both the editorial teams to learn from your wisdom and to give you guys as big a voice as possible.
What a testimonial. Thank you very much.
Thank goodness
PRN may quote you on this. That's wonderful. Now, back to Mama Gina. You quote her in your book. It's such a wonderful book, and people can get it free online again. Free online. But the art, so here's a quote from Mama Gina. The art of sensual pleasure is when a woman takes complete control of her sensual destiny. She knows her body. She knows what pleasures her. She knows how to surrender. Ecstasy is her reality. Oh, I love that quote. The art of sensual pleasure is when a woman's body, soul, and enthusiasm in being or unified, and she is awakened. She is on close terms with her bliss. Such a great quote, such a great idea.
Yeah.
That, you know, a woman who's tuned into her pleasure is tuned into her bliss and knows how to ask for it and get it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I mean, the experts and the quest that I went on, you know, almost, you know, coming up for a decade ago was I had to learn to tap in, tune in, and turn on. I mean, that was my journey. And I refuse to give that piece of myself up now.
Yeah. Good. Because you like it. Your life is better now.
Sure, and I light up everybody around me when I'm living in my joy and my happiness. And we all do. When a woman is happy, the whole world is blessed. It is, it's our birthright. And somehow society has not encouraged that enough, in my opinion.
No, that's very true. I would agree with that. So you talk about women may be self-sabotaging their love lives. And would you expand on that? I mean, I read about it in your book. It makes so much sense, the self-sabotage. Could you elaborate on that, Fiona?
Yeah. I mean, without going into the sexual side of things, I think
We will eventually,
yeah,
I think.
We will. But we've forgotten that we are the ultimate prize. We really have. That men want to make us happy. They want to satisfy us. They want to cherish and adore us. And we do often get in our own way, and we make it really hard for them. And so when I say that, you know, pleasure is our birthright, we really have to start to do some self-analysis, to step out of the pace and put on our own oxygen mask and before we can nurture anybody else, and start to self-nurture. And pleasure, joy, happiness, these are all things that so many of us are very fleeting for us. We don't make them a priority. And we often wake up, you know, I'm in my early, mid-50s now, and, you know, mid-40s, there's just mid-40s, early 50s, there's so many women that are going, this can't be my life. I was actually talking to a fitness guru, Toscarino, and we had a good chat. I mean, there's so many of us that have bumped into the same thing, and we're self-sabotaging because we're not owning the fact that we have to put on our oxygen mask first. We have to stop and spend the time so that we can be our best versions, and therefore everybody around us gets to benefit, and we get to create our best lives.
A lot of women, and I see this in a number of my clients, have fears. But I often think and will suggest that if there's fear, opportunity is right behind it. If you mm-hmm. can feel the fear and do it anyway, then the opportunities may come up. And you had fears, and then the door opened for lots of opportunities. Is that not true?
Well, actually, it got to the point where, and so many of us, I think, face this, it gets so painful. You know, I was hearing ridiculous things from my GP about how my low libido or my dyspareunia, which is pain during intercourse, is a part of, you know, everyday life. And that's what's pervasive, that, you know, we have to suck it up. And that's not helping us.
And many of these doctors, because I hear these kinds of stories quite often from clients, minimize, discount a woman's sexuality. She may be perimenopausal or menopausal. Her hormones are a mess. But they'll just say, oh, well, it's normal, just like your doctor said, well, pain with intercourse is normal. Well, it's not normal, and there are things you can do to fix it. But you, do you... We had a pre-interview, and you were very gracious to say you would share some of your personal stories. So we'll jump ahead to sexual self-sabotaging now, and then we'll come back maybe even after the break to dating and relationships. So what happened when you were still shut down, and mm-hmm. can you talk about your sexual journey a little bit?
Well, you know, I'd never had any trauma as a child. As I mentioned in the first, I lived a charmed childhood until my first car accident, when that threw my world upside down, and I lived with physical pain and fibromyalgia and all that sort of stuff, sciatica. And yet the biggest pain for me was when I was in a relationship. It wasn't a healthy relationship for me, but I was damned if I was going to let it go, just because I wanted to prove, just like, you know, a goal-oriented person, that I could stick it out. This time I could stick it out. And I didn't understand the mind-body connection. And I always mm-hmm. have said that my ego is probably, and I'm an alpha. I'm definitely an alpha female. But alpha mm-hmm. females quite often have egos that are the most strongest muscle in their body. You know, we drive ourselves. And I didn't understand the mind-body connection. I had virtually no libido. I would walk into my doctor's office and go, you know, I'm not interested in sex. And oh my goodness, how often, Diana, have you heard that, right?
Oh, a lot. And, I even get it with young women.
It's
no longer surprising. It's so common and usually it's the woman with the lower desire. Not always, but usually. And so, of course, that creates a lot
that.
Of... if you're in a relationship, it creates... You know, it creates a lot of stress and tension. And if people are happy with not having sex, then I don't see them. But usually, I see them if there is a discrepancy of desire. So you got your libido on track.
And so, sorry, Siggy. Diana, have I lost you?
Yeah, you have a little bit. I don't know what's going on. I think we have
Are
some.
Are you there?
Yeah, I hear you now, but I lost you in your
difficulty.
But you're but Fiona, you're on a landline, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it might be what we were facing at the beginning. So.
I know.
Yeah,
All right. Well, let's just persevere and see what we can do.
I'd walked into. I basically, in my opinion, now look back and I gave myself endometriosis through the sheer. Lack of desire, I just was going to, my body found a way so that I didn't have to have sex. So I completely shut it down. And it was only
And
when,
endometriosis can be very painful.
It can. And I mean, sure, we cleaned that piece up, but really I needed out of the relationship. I needed to find myself. And as soon as I got out of the relationship and I started to look, you know, I jumped into the dating world. That's a whole different, you know, conversation. But as soon as I started to reclaim me and I got healthy with the green shakes and, the supplements and things like that, and I reclaimed my actual strength and everything, my libido came flooding back to the point where my GP will say things like, you know, within 2 years, she says, I can't believe you're the same woman. You need to do this. You need to show women how you go from total shutdown to you're ridiculously juicy, even at your age, which how did you do this? So she gets a hoot every time I walk into her office and I tell her what I'm up to these days. So it's possible.
You have a good doctor there.
She
could see. She could see firsthand that you, being a pelvic, frankly, that you were more juicy and probably rosy. And, you know, let's go away from the personal thing about your vagina, but vaginas can go from looking like dry deserts with no pink to blooming deserts and not deserts at all, but
yeah,
and it has to do usually with sexual activity and blood going to the genitals. It's all about blood flow and interest and nitric oxide
but as you're pointing out,
it's also it's mind body. I mean, that's what happened for you. Your mind came on track, and you ended a toxic relationship, and these things are really, really important.
Well, don't we always go on record saying that a woman's orgasm starts between her ears, and that foreplay
is
everything that's gone on in her day? So men and women, we have to be diligent about what we put in our day, because it all builds.
Yes. So, we are going, even though we got a late start, thanks to technical difficulties, but we still have a bright half past hour. So and dear listening audience, when we come back, Fiona Fine and I are going to talk about dating and relationships, because Fiona has lived that, well, so have I, but lived this, dating and relationships, and we're going to talk about things that she talks about in her book. 5 things that men are looking for, and so much more. So you'll want to stay with us. We'll be right back.
Try to see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? While you see it your way, run the risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. We can work it out. We can work it out and get it straight, or say goodnight. We can work it out. We can work it out. Life is very short, and there's no time.
This is Karen Hartglass, host of It's All About Food, and you're listening to PRN, your source for progressive, up-to-date, and inspirational information on nutrition and health.
This is journalist Dave Lindorf. I'll be hosting the show This Can't Be Happening each Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on PRN.fm. Because we know it is happening, each week's program will feature some issue that's been getting ignored or misreported, like Social Security, climate change, military spending, or the government's destruction of the Internet. Please join me at This Can't Be Happening on Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern.
This is Tony Hendron
and Jeff Chrysler
of the Final Edition Radio Hour
on PRN,
your source for organic,
gluten-free,
sustainable
satire.
We're back. Dating and relationships. Now, you said in your book that you have met most of your beaux online, and after being some of my listeners who do tune in regularly know this, but I had been a widow for about 10 years, and I had had a good marriage, and so I was very, and you distinguish between picky and discriminating, but I was both, I think.
Yes.
And yeah, I was both. And so one of the things you talk about in your book is to date multiple men, which I did, and I played the field, and announced it, as you suggest in your book. So I'm so glad I did, because as I have said before, after kissing about 50 frogs, it really was about that, both in Los Angeles and in Seattle. I finally met my prince, Brian.
Now
we're engaged, but I met him a little over 3.5 years ago, and it's such a fabulous relationship. But if you want to date and have a relationship, I've always said, with a terrific person, you must start by being a terrific person yourself.
Yeah.
And knowing what you want. What are you looking for in a relationship? And you break that down very well in your book. Can you talk more about that, Fiona?
Well, you know, I'm going to go on record on a couple of one-liners that may or may not blow up the audience. But, you know, I definitely believe that men chase, women choose. So men are the ones that, you know, their primordial brain is programming them to chase us. So we can go into, you know, what are they looking for? But we choose, and so therefore the picky versus the discriminating is really, it's important, because we can, again, sabotage that if we're very, very picky versus the discriminating. The other thing is, and it sort of all ties together, I'm willing to say that if you don't have the love life of your dreams, don't blame a man. Because men chase and women choose, a lot of it still stems with us, not the responsibility, but where it all starts. So men are looking for that chemistry, just like we are. There's just, they want us to click. They want it to be that special feeling. They want to be appreciated. They want to be approved of. They want to be acknowledged, what I call AAA support. So
I like that AAA.
Playful. They want us to have a sense of play. And if we're so busy looking for the one, then they're going to feel that pressure. And they're not going to respond well. They're not going to want to chase. So the low drama aspect is a big piece of it also. If we're throwing drama and a whole bunch of hoops and loops at a man, the odds of him wanting to stay interested are slim. So that whole, positive attitude, open communication, being clear about what I need as a queen, you know, what I affectionately call queen rules, not trying to change him. These are all pieces to what a man is looking for in his woman. Now, flipping it around, I really think that it makes a huge difference if, as you did, we get to play the field.
We get to enjoy the dating process. We, you know.
And have some fun.
Yes. Because, my goodness, if it's not fun when you're dating, you know, it. How do you set that up so that that's what you're looking for throughout the whole relationship? And that women always should be dated. We should always be courted. And that is why men should, in theory, gently, always be chasing after us. And we are always choosing them. And it really comes down to setting ourselves up for it to work, as opposed to for it to fail and for him not to be the one. But you didn't find Brian, as you just said. You have kissed 50 frogs to find your prince charming.
I did. And we were both looking for somebody well-balanced and somebody playful without drama. You talk in your book, 5 things men look for in the one. And I think it's all true. The first is chemistry. And you say, if it isn't there, you can't force it.
Right, walk
you
away.
You can't walk away.
I hear,
but you
I hear
but the woman has.
Women. Yeah, we choose. Yeah. I hear some women going, how do I make him love me? And I'm like, whoa, you don't. That's
right.
Where the self-esteem, that's where the confidence comes from. That's where the permission to say, look, this is pushing a piece of wet spaghetti across the table. Move on. And that's the joy of dating multiple men. And I mean dating. I don't mean having sex with them all or anything, but dating for the joy of learning who I am. And that's what my turning point was. So I know that it can make a huge difference. I mean, even talking to the women that I coach and things like that, as soon as they make that tweak to, wow, it's supposed to be fun. How do I make the experience fun? How do I learn about myself? How do I learn about these men? How do I give them us both a great experience? That's when, you know, that's when Cupid sort of finds us and sort of goes, wow, this one came out of right field. I didn't expect this one. And you find
the playfulness. You probably have read about transactional analysis, Eric Byrne. It was one of the first self-help books. Like, I think it was written in about 1969. But so he talks about ego states: the parent ego state, the adult ego state, and the child ego state. And when you're in your parent ego state, it can either be the nurturing parent, which is usually a nice thing, or the critical, judgmental parent. You ought to, you should, the finger pointing out, blame, right? Blame. And then you have the adult ego state, which is probably where you and I are right now, in the moment, sharing ideas back and forth. Mm-hmm. And then you have the child ego state, which is either the rebellious child with his or her arms crossed in front saying, well, fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
And I will not do this.
A teenager.
Yes. And then, but then you have, okay, but then you have the playful child. And ideally, when we're making love with our lovers, we should be in the playful child state where there's no agenda. Sex does not necessarily have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And we are playful. And as I've understand it and as I've experienced it with clients, the most difficult ego state is the critical parent. So some people will take drugs or drink a lot to put the critical parent to sleep so the child can come out to play.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the only way
they can
do it.
And I think that's, yeah. And but the playfulness, and you say in your book, that a lot of alpha women have a little trouble, some do, with the playful,
I'd say a
spontaneous
lot of
thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would. We're used to running the show. I mean, it's mm-hmm. one of the reasons womenwhorunit.com mm-hmm. came about. I wanted to be able to give women leaders an opportunity to find the harmony. And so that's what Women Who Run It, which is one of the publications, does. We talk about harmonizing, you know, the three major, which is our careers, our relationships, and our fitness, health, well-being. women, especially alphas, usually have one really rock solid, and there's usually one or two, either their personal life or their health, that isn't as solid. And so it's bringing us together as integrated women so that we can find our Prince Charming. I'm not going to use the words the one. You and I have had that mini rant together, I'm sure. There's that one, the words the one really bring back that Jerry Maguire quote where somebody disappears in their relationship.
Yeah. The Jerry Maguire quote, why don't you repeat it for people that maybe are too young to remember the movie?
You complete me. And I always remember,
right.
Yeah. I always, it was my naturopath who was teaching me some of this, again, with the experts. If you take two whole circles with your hand and you merge them together to get the one, you actually end up with zero. There's no room for either person to breathe. And then, you and I were talking about living accommodations and everything. You know, if we have the option, we should know what makes us happy. Be it 100% togetherness is kind of tough for a lot of women as we start to really realize the other pieces that we would really like to have in our lives that give us that harmony, give us that that pleasure and that balance. And that's why a lot of women, you know, when the kids go off to university and they're looking at their partner, it's gotten out of whack. And
and they look at their partner and they'll say, well, what do we have to talk about now? Now that the kids are gone. Also, I like to think about relationships, good, healthy relationships. One and one is not two, it's more like three at times. There's a synergy.
Yeah.
There's a real synergy. And so, they can stand on their own, one whole person, another whole person. I want you more than I need you. I can live without you. But you know what? I can live better with you, even if it's not in the same house.
Under the same roof.
And
a lot of us are choosing that. I mean, a lot of us are choosing to have our own space. Do you remember the Sex and the City where Carrie, who is Sarah Jessica Parker, she gives up her space to move in with Big, who is her opposite in the Myers-Briggs quadrant. And
that's right.
Now, granted, they have the money, but every woman should have a place that is her space. You know, even if it's you know, more than her closet full of clothes. Trust me, I have that too. But it's a space. It's a knowing where our pleasure, both sexually and non-sexually, starts. And, you know, that whole piece about self-pleasuring, I've had many conversations on, like, sex is between me and myself as well as me and you. You don't get to tell me how I'm going to have sex or how I'm going to self-pleasure. That, as you can imagine, is an interesting conversation with my honey when I first meet him.
Well, and what I know for sure after 32 years of practicing and and counseling with lots of anorgasmic or pre-orgasmic women is that they absolutely must masturbate to find out about how they respond themselves and look at their genitals in the mirror. You know, a lot of women haven't done that. They need to look at their genitals unaroused, mid-arousal, highly aroused, because they change.
And right after, oh my goodness, right after, I'm like, wow.
I know, and aren't we pretty?
And we are. We blossom. We do. And so many
of us. That's right.
Someone, again, and I won't just say, you know, an alpha female, but so many of us are still not as comfortable and maybe a bit more ashamed as to what are, quote, girly bits. One of my girlfriends called it, ooh, I don't like my girly bits after I had my kids. She was proud of her kids, but she didn't like what her girly bits look like. And I go, hey, forget kids, no kids. It's just life, and if they're being used, they're going to be gorgeous.
Well, that's right. And I heard, I just came from a conference in Monterey, and Dr. Dudley Danoff, who's a urologist who was on my program a few months ago and will be on it again September, I think, 19th, he was saying that genital plastic surgery is the fastest growing. Now, that doesn't mean it's, you know, that they're more, but fastest growing. So women are wanting to have their inner labia shaved down, sometimes the hood of the clitoris. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you're cutting off all these wonderful nerve tissues.
Endings. Yeah, 8,000 nerve endings of joy
for the clitoris.
Yeah, I know.
And then there's, you know, I don't know how many in the labia, the inner labia, but it's just silly and not a good thing. We do know that when women are comfortable with their genitals, that they're usually much more comfortable with their sexuality. So, you know, it's, once again, it's kind of a whole lot of things.
And it's a process. I mean, literally, I couldn't call, you know, I couldn't call parts of my body fun, playful names, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, because I was mentally shut down as well. And as you start to open up the box and, you know, one's true self, one does have to sort of go, okay, look, it may not be pretty, but oh my God, it can give pleasure. Or they may not be pretty, but they can move me from A to B. And we really need to encourage each other to say, it ain't perfect. And if it's working, oh my gosh, that's really what I care about. We cannot look at what is in Photoshop. We cannot look at, I've taken up some TV and some modeling. I mean, I sort of look at it and go, okay, that, you know, how much of that is real and how much of that is what I used to say, Memorex, you know, or Photoshop.
Uh-huh. No, that's right. That's right. Now, you, going back to your book for a moment, I really like what you say. Let's see, page 97. According to the joke, the only way a woman can be truly, completely satisfied is to have four different men. An old one, an ugly one, a stud muffin, and a gay guy. And then you go to explain why each one is necessary, and we can have a discussion after you explain this about why we shouldn't necessarily put all of our expectation eggs in one basket, i.e. one man.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I tell that joke when I do speeches, again, because, you know, people say, why have I been advocating to date like a man, as I call it, you know, which is enjoy and play and not go looking for only for a final end result that is, you know, you're the one. And that was my turning point when I realized I could, you know, sort of do buffet dating and I could learn about myself. That really, that was like a whole different ball game. And I never knew I was allowed to do it. So I needed to be told that I had permission, and really, I'm highly advocating to explore. Men love it. I can't tell you when you say to a man initially, I'm not dating exclusively, I have seen really strong, powerful men sort of sit up even further and realize, I got to be on my best behavior.
Right.
You know, this one might actually, you know, have a brain and some beauty and things like that. And it's good for them because they are chasers. But we choose them. There is no question. I think Jane Fonda said it, you know, in a different way. But men chase, women choose. We are the power source.
Yes, I think Jane Fonda did say that originally. And I love her most recent book, Prime, about being older, and including being an older sexual person, which I talk about a lot on this program, of course, as well as a younger sexual person. But you say the old guy because it gives you financial security, and the ugly man is a sweetheart. Well, ugly, we're going to put that in quotes, maybe unattractive. Yes. But
it's in quotes.
So happy to have a beautiful,
happy woman.
Loving woman. So he's grateful, right?
Well, and he goes up, as I say, he goes above and beyond the call of duty to help me as a woman, and he gives me lots of me time, whereas the old man in the joke gives me lots of financial security because, quote, we know no woman wants to end up being poor and alone. I mean, we're kind of bred that. And then the stud muffin, well, we know what his job is. His job is to give us mind-blowing sex. You know, so that's
right.
easy.
And the gay guy, well, the gay guy is really basically a best friend, except he's a man. And so he's mm-hmm. the one that, you know, you sit around and talk about what the old man bought me, what the errands my, quote, ugly guy, unquote, took care of, and exactly how my stud muffin had me doing backflips in bed. And so he gives me all the conversation that I could ever need. And the joke
right.
says that all four of these men are, you know, what it takes in theory to keep a woman happy and satisfied. And oh my goodness!
And you write in the book to supply the needs of one goddess.
Yes.
Yep.
And yet, you and I both know, you know, present relationships included, you can get that from one man. You need to know what it is that makes it work. And I also say in the book, I really believe in having best friends of or good friends of the opposite sex. You know, and that's where there has to be trust that if my best friends are still male. So that's where I get the feedback to say, oh, my gosh, you're being a girl. Stop it. You're going to blow things up. And so they give me feedback. So open, honest communication is important for any relationship to work. But the joke is it's an old one. It's an old and a great one, the reason why
it
we
is.
Should date like
it
them.
Is. And then you go on in your book to say, quoting Cindy Lou,
mm-hmm.
the four-man plan, a man needs to be honest, loving, and willing. And I love that. That's right. You write everything else about him should be negotiable, or at least something that you are open to considering.
Yeah. So would
so
you
honest, loving, and willing.
Yeah. Would you have recognized, Brian, you know, 10 years ago? Maybe? I mean, there's might not be an
I might have, but I was, 10 years ago, I was still, well,
maybe.
A little more than 10 years ago, before Charlie died, I was still happily married. But I might not have recognized Brian 8 years ago, and I continue to live and be selective and discriminating. And then I did recognize him when it came along, and I saw that he was honest and loving and willing.
Mm-hmm.
Quite willing, actually.
More than. He does want to make you happy. He does want to cherish and adore you. He wants to satisfy you, right?
Yeah, he does, deeply.
Yeah.
And we just came back from a trip, and he paid me a nice compliment. At the end, he said, "You're so easy to travel with," and that was nice to hear. And of course, he is too. So anyway, let's talk, Fiona, about what's next for you on your journey, because we are coming. We have to stop a couple minutes before the top of the hour. So, what's next for you? And I mean, you have. Just such, and of course I'm going to want to have you back. It may be a couple of months in between, but we'll have you back because there's so much more we can talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So what's coming up for you?
Well, I've been asked, the theory is always simple to hand out, you know, a strategy of just, you know, work on yourself, be a 10, stop chasing men, start choosing love. We're taking that one level deeper, much deeper, with thought leaders and experts. I'm creating a program that is a year to becoming a bitch, a year to becoming a babe in total control of herself. And we're going to go into how do we do this? What are the practical methods? What are the pieces that every, you know, day, one degree of change, and we start to end up in a completely new direction and attitude and outlook. So that's the next big thing. And I've recently been asked to also work a little bit with men so that they can date goddesses, so they know how to date.
Oh, that's great.
Women like you and I.
Uh-huh.
I'm getting a lot of requests for that, so we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, men often do need some help, and I worked with a woman who's also been on this program, but I'm going to call her back because it's been a while. April Massini, but we did some workshops. She's written a book, How to Date Out of Your League,
mm-hmm.
And so we did that, and I have a chapter in her book about that in terms of the sexual mm-hmm. part of it. So there's the music. So let me thank you so much, Fiona, and I just want to say that life choices and self-improvement can open us to the potential bounty of our lives. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. Yeah, we're very happy to give away a digital copy of the book. So that's
good.
That's our pleasure.
And I will put that in my summary. And thank you again, Fiona. We'll be talking again on the air and off the air. Take good care, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.